Yesterday, I went to a bull sale down in Tyus, down below Carrollton. And it was at a farm, and they had a nice indoor arena and all of that stuff. And there's probably about 150 people there. And Zeeland rode down with me. And before they got started, they had a little lunch and all that stuff. And before they got started at 12 o'clock, of course, they had a big American flag over the arena where the draping down when the bulls were in there, you know, when you're auctioning, bidding on them and all of that stuff. Your kids pay attention to more than you realize. Because we were on our way down there, and Zeeland asked me, he said, "Poppy, are they going to give us one of those cards with a number on it?" And I said, yeah, they are, Z. That's how they know that we're bidding on the bull and who buys the bull and all that stuff. I said, "How did you know that?" He said, "I saw it on a movie." And I'm like, "All right, that's cool, man. I like it. Observant little joker and all this." But we come in, and before we're about to get started, it's, "Hey, man, everybody, before we get started, welcome to the sale." You know, had a few opening remarks. Said, "We're going to open up with a good word of prayer." And so one of the local pastors that was there, man, he came and he prayed and all of that stuff. And when we got through praying, which I thought that was cool, but that didn't take me by off guard or anything like that. I mean, we're in Carroll County, Georgia. But then they say, "All right, everybody, stand to your feet. We're about to do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag." And you got about 150 people there, and 99% of them have got on boots and all of this stuff and hats. And every one of them, I just looked around, every one of them, man, there. I didn't see anybody taking a knee, Randy. You'd probably got shanked and shot if you'd have done that. But everybody in the whole thing, man, was standing up and had their hat off and had their hand. Not only did they have their hat off, they had their hand on their heart. And every one of them was, "Man, I pledge allegiance." And I was glad that my six-year-old grandson was there in that. I was. I'm glad he gets to see this. It's not that he watches MSNBC or anything like that. It's not all like they show on the media today. There is still good out there. There are still people that love God out there. There are still people that are light of the world that are just, man, regular. I just want to love on Jesus, and I want to be a kingdom person. And that blessed me. That made me feel good. I was like, "Yeah, I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place." Turn in your Bible to the book of Colossians. Y'all don't turn there every day, do you? The book of Colossians. I want to share a few thoughts on thankfulness this morning. The Lord has really challenged me as I love this time of year. It is absolutely my favorite time of year, and it's for a multitude of reasons. I love the smell of the woods this time of year when the leaves are falling. I love the cooler weather. I love the holidays coming up. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I mean, it's college football season and it's hunting season. So you just got a lot of perfect storm going on in October and November. It's just amazing months. And in December, and Zeeland was asking me, he said, "What's your favorite month, Poppy?" And I was telling him why. And he said, "Mine's Christmas. Like Christmas is a month, you know." January is pretty cool because we go skiing, but my favorite month is Christmas. And I'm like, that's all right, buddy. That's okay. But I'm just beginning to just really put a lot of meditation on the Lord and what He's trying to say, and you know, speak to me, speak to us as a family, speak to us as kingdom people, speak to this house. I do want to challenge you right now. A lot of y'all, every year, y'all hear me talking about God gave us a word for the upcoming year. And a lot of times He'll give us those words in January or February, and sometimes He'll give us the word last year. He started giving us words in December concerning 2020 and last year 2019. And He's been doing it for several years now and just dropping significant words that was kind of the emphasis of our year, the highlight of our year and all of this. And He said, so I want to challenge everybody, start asking the Lord and seeking the Lord and say, "God, what do you want to say to me for 2020. It's November 24th today. So the word says, if you seek me, you'll find me. You have not because you ask not. So y'all hear me say this, and the Lord always gives us cool words, and sometimes the process isn't always cool, but the end result's always amazing. And I know a lot of people's like, "Man, God don't speak to me like that, and God don't, I wish God did that to me," and all that stuff. Start asking Him. Start pressing in. Start saying, "God, what's your word for me as an individual, a kingdom man or kingdom woman? What's your word for my family? My children, if you're the age, grandchildren, what's your word for my family? What's your word for the people that I do life with, the community of believers that I do life with? What's the word for us? And it can be multiple ones, but what's your word for me? And start seeking the Lord and asking the Lord on that. So I was just spending time and kind of meditating on this season and Thanksgiving and thankfulness and all of that. And the Lord really started, He carried me to Colossians 3, which is a real unusual place for Him to carry me. And He started shifting my approach to this. And it ties in with a lot of where God's got us right now, as individuals and as a family and all of this. But I can carry you to pretty much any psalm in the Bible, and it talks about thanksgiving to God. It talks about a heart of gratitude, thanking God, and that God's good to me, and I want to lift up, and I want to thank God, and I want to thank God. And all of it is, our aim is toward God, and our aim is toward heaven, and that's easy, right? I mean, what's not to like? We can say, well, he let me down here, did this and this. Really, you look through the stuff and you're going to find that everything I have I owe to him, starting with life and blessings and all of this. And so it's easy for us to come in and to have a heart of thankfulness on a vertical sense, right? Our aim is heaven. And God really started shifting my viewpoint on this, or my point of emphasis on this, and he said, I want your aim on thankfulness to not just be vertical, but I want your aim to be horizontal as well. It's still thankfulness to me, but I want your aim to be horizontal. So that means if my thankfulness to God for everything working in my life and happening in my life, for His goodness, His grace, His mercy, all of these things, salvation, I mean, it starts with that, gaining heaven, escaping hell, but just the interaction, the whole nine yards, it all originates and flows to Him. But instead of my thankfulness just being this way, let the aim be this way. I'll be honest with you, and I'm probably the only one in here, because I know all y'all got it going on a lot better than me, but there have been, and I'm hypothetical, no, in reality, there have been seasons in my life where I was kind of like Moses, and I'm like, God, I love you, and you're amazing, but I don't like your people. Anybody else? Anita, are you with me? I know my wife is. We'll high five. We're like, God, I love you, and you're awesome, and you're amazing, but I really don't like all these people that you put around me. Because I'm frustrated with them. I love them, but I don't like them. How many times y'all said that? You know, I love them because I gotta love them, but I really don't like them. Stephen, I know you're not directing that toward Carol at all, are you, brother? Not a bit. I felt it going across the room. But we come in, and we find ourselves in this thing where I'm so thankful to God, but I'm really frustrated and really unhappy with, or I'm just at best, maybe I'm indifferent to the people that are around me. And I come in Colossians, and I find some amazing scripture in Colossians in chapter 3, and it talks about all the stuff that we do. That we everything that we do, we give thanks to the Lord in it. But all of these verses that are preceding this thing are dealing with directly with the way that we love people. I want to marry this to Matthew 5, and Jesus is teaching in Matthew 5, and I'll read it in just a minute. I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. I'll read it in just a minute. But in Matthew 5, Jesus is talking about your light is set on a hill, it's not hid, so the whole world will see it. And then he says, as you do your good works, they will glorify your Father. And so in these scriptures, the Apostle Paul and Matthew in his gospel and the teachings of Jesus, they're coming in and they say, it's impossible for you to be thankful to me. It's impossible for you to love me. It's impossible for you to engage me on a vertical level and not do the same on a horizontal level. It's impossible for you just to aim toward heaven and miss all of creation. And so this morning I want us to shift our thinking and our mindset and get a horizontal aim instead of just a vertical aim. Because I can't really be worship God and thank God and have this abundant love, thankfulness to Him, and not like Randy and Terry that He brought into my life. And not be thankful for them. Instead of saying, God, really, You stuck me here? I had to get over this hurdle with where I lived. I really did. You can appreciate this, brother, with your lust for adventure and travel and out west and all of that stuff. I had to jump this hurdle with where God planted me, because I'm like, me and Lori had this conversation for years. Like, God, why did You put us in West Georgia? Because we do not fit in West Georgia. We don't fit with the mindset of most of the people in Harrelson County. You know. And West Georgia is not the, if I got friends from somewhere else and they're coming, you know, from, we have friends from Argentina and they come up to the States, some different ones and all that stuff. And when they come, here's the thing. We don't say you need to visit West Georgia. It's amazing. We're like, you need to visit Yellowstone or Yosemite. Or you need to see this or see this or see this. But you know what? We always tag in there. But if you want to come see us, come to the farm. And I had to get past the hurdle of not particularly liking where God planted me. Because I thought, God, of all the places that You planted me, why did You not choose Bozeman, Montana? Because, dude, I mean, that's like epicenter for me. I can do everything outdoors. Fly fishing's phenomenal. Skiing's great. I can do everything. Good food scene, man, I can do it all right there. Not so much in Buckhannon, Georgia. We drove through Buck Cannon the other day, and I was like, boy, bless them. Buck Cannon just ain't got a lot going on, does it? And then yesterday afternoon, I was walking on our farm. Lori and I were. And our kids were on their four-wheelers. And they were playing games, zooming around us and circling around us as we were walking through the pastures. And I told Lori, I said, this is absolutely heaven on earth, isn't it? So when Jesus talked about abundant life, I give you not just abundant life, but life more abundantly. This is exactly what He was referring to. We were having this conversation walking out across the pasture yesterday about 5 o'clock. You know, after they had washed their hands off from throwing cow poop at each other for a while. It's farm life. Yeah, sorry. They got that from me. I have to take credit for that. But I had to get past the hurdle of, God, I'm not really crazy about where You put me. And once I looked and saw the beauty of where He put me and let it sink in my heart, now there is no other place that I had rather live. I love to visit these places, but there's no other place that I can plant my roots. Because it sings something to me. It speaks something to me. It means something to me. And often we get like that, not only with a place, because we'll go into a place begrudgingly and saying, I don't like this place, but I'm stuck here, so I just got to deal with it. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen kids and they couldn't wait to get out of their home church and they couldn't wait to get out of their hometown because it was Mayberry to them. Now, a lot of you younger guys don't understand that reference, but it was Mayberry to them. And they're like, I just can't wait to get out of here. And then when they get grown, you know what they're looking for? A place that feels like their hometown and a church that feels like their home church that they grew up in. Because they long for that sense of, this is something that God has planted deep inside of me. All right? We get that geographically too, don't we? So we get the vertical aim. We get when we're talking about a place. How many of y'all are like, God, I'm so thankful You put me in Bremen, Georgia? You know? What, you have to get over that hurdle. You have to get over that hurdle. Okay? But once you get over that hurdle, then you're like, oh, this is awesome. All right, here's the hard part. Is we have to get past that with people. Because we cannot come in and be thankful to our Heavenly Father. We cannot come in this season of Thanksgiving, this season of Christmas, where I just feel this overwhelming heart of joy to God and all of that stuff, but I don't dig the people that God put around me. My God, I ain't feeling it for these folks. They ain't like me. And I see the flaws, and I see them. A while ago when I had y'all praying for each other, that's why. I'll promise you, if you are standing next to somebody, when I go to conferences and all that stuff, and Bill Johnson's always, I mean, Papa Bill's all about it. Man, y'all hold hands and pray for the person with you and all that stuff. And every time, I love it. I dig it. We do it a lot. I don't know these people. I remember a couple years ago we were out there and the people were next to us. They were from Australia and they had flown in just for the conference. And we're holding hands with these people and they're praying for over these people and all of that stuff. And you know what I was thinking toward them? Nothing but happy thoughts. Nothing but, oh God, I know these people are amazing. I know these people love you. I know these people. They flew all the way from Australia to come and get in your presence and all that. And God, you bless them and pour out all of this stuff and all of them. I bet back home there's somebody saying, Bob and Sue are jacked up. I'm so upset with them and I'm so frustrated with them, but because I did not see them through those skewed glasses, I prayed a totally different prayer over them and I was extremely thankful for them even though I didn't know anything about them. And if you want to come into a real place of thanksgiving to the heart of the Father and you want to please Him and you want Him to say, man, that Tyler, golly, he makes me smile, he makes me happy. Then you come in and you be just as thankful for Ambry as you are for him. Instead of saying, God, you got to do something about her cooking. God, you got to do something about her cleanliness because she just ain't getting it done on keeping the house clean. You know, my underwear is still, it's a little bit, it'll stand up in the corner still and all of this stuff. And we're not, and I don't know, you may be stellar in those areas. Tyler has not talked to me about any of it. But do you see what I'm saying in this? Jesus, in the Word, he says, that how can we love God who we have not seen if we don't love people who we have seen that are created in His image, although they are flawed and although they do have issues. And I want to tell you, if you want to see a shift in this Thanksgiving season, if you want to shift in what's happening in your life, if you want to see a shift in the way that you minister to people, you didn't feel nothing but love for Tracy and Kiki this weekend, did you? You know what? They got issues too. You separate them from Chase and all that, they got issues too. They got areas that are, they're jacked up too. And if we come in and we're like, God, Brett House, man, he just, you know, this and this, and we start our list with people, and I'm not so thankful for Brett House, then you know what it does? God's sitting there saying, man, I brought this man into your life for him to bless you and for you to bless him. For him to share life with and different aspects and all of that stuff. And yet you can't be thankful for him. So if you're not thankful for him, you're really not thankful to me. Let's read some scripture right here. I think it'll make you feel. I want to say, guys, we are here not just to do life and enjoy life, but I am here to impact, to redeem this planet that I'm on. I am here to redeem this planet that I'm on. Now the journey in which I am doing this is amazing. Our process of redemption is amazing. We love in life. We live in life. It's phenomenal. But it ain't just about me and Lori walking in the garden saying we dig in married life. One thing that I always tell people about doing mission trips and mission work and all of that in these developing countries, these impoverished countries, I said you can radically change the trajectory of somebody's life for a small amount of time and money. You can radically change the trajectory of their life. And I want to tell you something, guys. Here in the United States, in the West Georgia, in the middle of the Bible Belt, you can radically change the trajectory of somebody's life. Maybe not with building them a house for $1,700, but you can radically change their life by the way that you approach them, the way that you view them, the way that you minister to them. For not a whole lot of effort on your part. Let's look in this. I'm going to read, everybody in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 17 in King James, and then we're going to be in the Passion Translation. I highly encourage you, if you don't have the Passion Translation, get a copy. It's awesome. It's just a good translation with clarity, and I totally dig it. Verse 17 in the King James says, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, Everything you do is kingdom. I want to translate that for you. Everything you do should be kingdom. Everything that I do has the backdrop of kingdom. My business feels just as much kingdom as church life does. Our farm feels just as much as kingdom as church life does. The travel that I do feels just as much kingdom as church life does. Yesterday I was overwhelmed with a feeling. I was sitting up there yesterday and on the upper deck, and I was looking over the about 150 people there at the bull sale and all of this stuff. And I was overwhelmed with a feeling from the Holy Spirit of gratitude. And you know what I was thinking in my heart? I said, God, thank you for allowing us to be stewards of your creation. Because I was overwhelmed that you got these bulls running through here and all that stuff. And I was looking out on this crowd of people. And there were a lot of men, but there were some wives with them. And some of them had their whole families, you know. They were Brett and Aaliyah's age, and they had the two kids in tow. And they were getting a bull for their farm or buying a replacement heifer. And I was overwhelmed with a feeling of thankfulness and gratitude that you allowed this group of people to be stewards over His creation. One of my favorite psalms right now is 104 psalm. And in one verse in the 104 psalm says that God causes the grass to grow in the field for the cattle. So everything out there is significant to God. Every bit of creation is significant to God. Every bit of the land, every bit of the animals that He created, and especially every bit of the people that He created is significant to God. And so I'm supposed to walk through this thing, and I'm supposed to live this thing. Everything that I do, I'm doing it in the name of the Lord, as to the Lord, as one of the scriptures says, giving thanks to Him for it. So I said, thank you, Lord, that you're allowing me to be steward over this piece of livestock that I'm getting. And overwhelmed with that, and for the whole people right here. But here's something. Let me read the Passion Translation on 17, and we're going to get back. We're going to read a few verses. I'm going to tie all this together and hopefully really provoke some thought that you'll leave this place looking at stuff different. All right, Passion Translation, chapter 3, verse 17. Have we got that up? Oh, yeah, this is good. Look at this. Let every activity of your lives, every activity of your lives, and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. How'd y'all relate to your wife yesterday? Was it dripping with the beauty of our Lord Jesus? Huh? Can I get a witness? Somebody like, all you women are right now supposed to be saying, yes, that's my husband. That's the way he relates to me. You say, what does that look like, Pastor? Maybe it looks like you cooked your wife supper last night. Maybe it looks like you did the dishes. Maybe it looked like she didn't have to ask you to take out the trash 15 times. Every one of those is love languages. Every one of those is love languages. Maybe it looked like the way you released into her. The way that you released into your children. Zealand felt real significant yesterday. You know why? Because he was going with hip poppy. And he had on his boots. And we're walking in the cell with men. And this is what men do. Now, Lori and the granddaughters, they came on too. Zealand rode with poppy, pulling the trailer. There's a difference. And here's the thing is, how do we relate to each other, Brett? We say we want to minister to the world and we can't even relate to each other well. I can't relate to the world well. If I can't look at the Blake House guys with a blank slate, I sit and having dinner with three or four of them the other night, Wednesday night, talking to them, communicating, man, engaging with them, interacting with them and all that stuff, hearing their story and trying to come in a place of, I'm not judging you because you used to do meth. You might have been one of the guys that stole one of my four-wheelers. I don't know. But how do I come in with a blank slate and love you the way Jesus loves you, with the idea and the belief and the full confidence that He is able to redeem you, to redeem your heart, to redeem your mind? You guys are pretty successful on that. That's why they did come in here, because they feel that. I hear it from them all the time. They feel that. But he says, let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And then he says, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. King James, whatsoever you do in word or deed. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. So he's sitting here, he's coming in, and he's saying, you know what this is? This is Thanksgiving. We're in Thanksgiving season. Thursday's Thanksgiving. Don't be thankful just because you've got a good job and you've got a good car and you've got a warm house and you've got all the food you can eat. Broaden that. And start coming in and be thankful for the people God's brought into your life. Let your aim of thankfulness not just be vertical, but let it be horizontal. But you don't know what Robin did. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But still be thankful. And still be thankful. Still have that heart of thankfulness. Still have that heart that she's a gift of God that God brought into my life. And you say, well, there's sandpaper. Me and my dad used to call it heavenly sandpaper. That's odd. It's knocking the rough edges off of you. And so we come in this. Now I want to back up a few verses and read just a few verses. And I want to show you this. So we're good at that. We can speak that hypothetically, right? Everybody good with me hypothetically? Hypothetically, I can adjust my aim from vertical to horizontal. Hypothetically, I can say, you know what? I can do that for Tiffany. But then you start getting into the real life. This is where the rubber meets the road and all of this. And look at what he says preceding it in these five verses. Verse 12. He starts out and says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So the foundation of this is the fact that I am totally, absolutely, he's madly in love with me. I am dearly loved by God. And because I'm loved by God, you know what that means? That means I should be a conductor of that very same love. I should be a conductor of that very same grace. A conductor of that very same mercy. And look what he says in this. You are always and dearly loved by God. So, therefore, robe yourself with virtues of God. Robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Any of y'all feel like y'all were chosen? How many of y'all feel like you chose God, and how many of you feel like He chose you? God chose me. I'll go ahead and tell y'all He chose me. He pursued me when I wasn't pursuing Him. He had His mark on me. He had His eyes on me. But before I ever had in my mind, I want to follow after God. I tell Chris Bridges all the time, I'm like, man, and I feel this way, man. You know I'm God's favorite, don't you? I mean, bragging a little bit to him. You know I'm God. He's like, no, nah, man, me and him, we're getting a little, you know, like, no, not me, not me. Because I really feel that way. And if you've ever had radical love encounter with God, you'll feel that way too. If you've ever had radical love encounter with God, you'll feel that way too. A lot of people, they approach God as consumers. A lot of churches, that's why our churches have gotten in the state that we are. Because we come in and we treat people like consumers. They treat God like they're consumers. They treat church like they're consumers. And we pander to what the consumer wants. Probably one reason we're not a big church. You know, one thing we could do to be a more full church, we could probably cut out one song in our praise and worship. We could come in and we could do radio worship music. Y'all know what I mean by radio worship music? We could do radio worship music. We could come in and I could give you a 25-minute sermon and a nice 5-minute altar call instead of an hour of teaching and releasing life into you. And it would be more appealing to the masses. And I guarantee you we would have full seats in here. But we're approaching people like consumers. And they are not consumers. And this is not a retail, place of retail where we're trying to sell them something. I'm going to go out and I'm going to impact the world and I'm going to release into the world and I'm going to make a difference in people's lives and I'm going to let my light shine and it's going to be a city set on a hill and I'm going to be loved by God, madly loved by God, and I'm going to show people that exact same thing. And then whoever would seize that light and decides they want that light, I'm not saying they got to come to church here. By no means am I saying that. I'm simply saying that I want to so emulate Christ. He said, robe yourself. That's something you put on, Brett House. That's something you choose. That's something you choose. That I am, when I have got this burning in here, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to robe myself with virtues of God since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. I'm pretty sure in Peter he says that we're a separate and peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy generation. That's what he calls us. And if you really believe yourself about that, you don't have a problem putting on those clothes. You are not a poser. You are not a poser when you start putting that on. You are not a poser when you start putting that on. And our problem is we choose to clothe ourselves with stuff other than that, and I'm going to be cloak and dagger on that. And then when the right time comes, that's why that was so refreshing to me yesterday. They wouldn't worry about if that was socially correct. This cat's saying, you know what, this is on my farm. And in my sale barn. In my arena. And we're going to come in and we're going to pray to Jesus because my trust is in Him. We're going to pray blessings over everybody that's here. We're going to pray blessings over the livestock that's here. And then we're going to stand and we're going to put our hand on our heart and we're going to pledge allegiance to the United States of America. This is who we are. And He's coming in right here and He says, this is the foundation of this, is you're always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with these virtues of God. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. That's what the Hondurans are going to see in Marty and them this afternoon as they start ministering this afternoon. Tomorrow when they're doing a medical, they'll see more than just a doctor that showed up. They'll see more than that. But then look at this and see how this comes in behind it. He said, be merciful. All right, now guys, this is horizontal aim. Remember, we're talking about horizontal aim. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. You know what we do? We group ourselves with people that are just like us. Because that's the people we get and that's the people we understand. But he says, be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. That means it's going to be a journey. That means it's going to be a process. That means it's going to be a task. And that means it's something that you need to try to engage in. He didn't say this was a suggestion. He said, be merciful as you endeavor to understand. Can I pick on you today? Are you good? Are you a volunteer for getting picked on today? All right, here we go. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand Ambry Carter. Oh man, I just don't. This and this, or you fill in the blanks and all of that. He said, be merciful as you endeavor to understand her. That means we should be on this journey of horizontal engagement with Ambry because God has brought her into your life. You say, God hadn't brought her into your life. Yeah, you are. You're worshiping together. You worship together every Sunday. She's here. She's here. Her husband's on the stage on the worship team. So it means that you need to be merciful as you endeavor to understand Tyler and Ambry Carter. So God wants you to actually engage them. God wants you to engage them. God wants you to get to know them. God wants you to understand what makes them tick. One thing that I absolutely love, and I'm getting more and more like this, but I think it's because boldness and scriptures and all that, I want people to engage us and try to figure out what makes me and Lori tick. When we go to these places, when we go to hunting lodges and fishing lodges and places like that, I will be down at one of my happy places next weekend down at Rio Piedra in South Georgia quail hunting. And I love going to that place. We've been doing it for years. And there are people down there that we see every year and all of that stuff. And they look at us, me and Lori, almost like we're this oddity. And I want them to try to understand what makes us tick. And I want to open up my life so that I can show them what? Not see it in Lori, but show them Christ in us. I really applaud you on this, Tiff, because I see you do this a lot. I see young couples come in the church, and I will see you endeavor to engage them. I do. I see you endeavor to engage them. And that's huge right there. You know, and you do it not knowing what their background. They may be so jacked up, you know, but I've seen you do it time and time and time again. And that's the reason that some of these little young couples, they're coming in here, Mo, because they felt that engagement. They said, man, this person wants to engage in my life. This person wants to actually get to know me instead of just saying, yeah, that's a number out there. It's another person out there, you know. And he comes in and he said, be merciful in that. Because you know why he had to say be merciful? Because it's a process. And sometimes they won't let you in. And you still have to have mercy. You still have to have grace as you endeavor to understand those. And then he says, and be compassionate. Showing kindness toward all. Be compassionate, showing kindness toward, what's that last word? All. Who are we supposed to be kind to? The people that are like us, Casey? No, all. That's a big word now. I see it on little t-shirts. My grandkids run around with kind t-shirts and all of that stuff. And, you know, all these little posters, be kind and all of this stuff. It's a good catchphrase right now. But it's very scriptural. He said, be kind to all. Be kind to all. Don't be judgmental on all. I'm not saying that we wink at sin and we condone sin, but we're not going to hate people into the kingdom. The church has failed miserably. I'll say the church in the Bible Belt has failed miserably in ministering to the liberal community. Because we disagree with them on a lot of our political things and all of that, moral issues, and all, we disagree with them. I'm the world's worst at this. I've made statements here on Wednesday night. A couple of times I had to, one of them was concerning Nancy Pelosi, and I told everybody, I said, don't put that on the internet. The whole thing. Because I'm more prejudiced toward liberal people than I am toward any other people group out there. And God's coming in, and you know what he's saying right here? Robe yourself with virtues of God since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. The church has failed miserably in that regard. The church has failed miserably in our relationship with the homosexual community. We failed miserably because we've tried to hate them into the kingdom instead of loving them in the kingdom. We try to hate them into the kingdom instead of loving them in the kingdom. That's why God threw Heidi Baker's turning Mozambique upside down, because she's loving them into the kingdom. And a big part of the people group that she is reaching and ministering to are Muslims. And she's reaching them through their children, because she's loving on their children. She's feeding their children. She's educating their children. Katie Davis doing the same thing through a Muslim ministries. Any of y'all get that video, picture of the video this week? Anybody get emails from them? Dude, what God's doing over there is crazy. 5 years ago, man, they didn't have nothing out there. And they got all this amazing school and all this stuff going on and all of that. Tremendous what God can do with one person. You think we've got to have a lot. No, you don't. You just got to have one person that says, God, here I am. Take me and use me. And God turned the world upside down through you. I believe that for me, but I believe that for you too. I believe that for you too. Very quickly, I don't want to be all day teaching on this. Very quickly, let me move through this. Be gentle and humble. That doesn't always describe me. Be gentle and humble. Unoffendable in your patience with others. Are you unoffendable? Are you unoffendable? We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about vertical aim in Thanksgiving. But God said, all right, now I want to throw it out and do horizontal aim. And I want you to love Jessica Labby the way I love Jessica Labby. I want you to be thankful for Jessica Labby the way that I'm thankful for Jessica Labby. That's easy for you, but what about the person that she got offended with the other day? Or the person that's offended with her? And he comes in and he says, I want you to be unoffendable. If you want to have horizontal aim, if you want to have horizontal thankfulness, you've got to be unoffendable. I had to throw a big roadblock up on that Wednesday night. This past Wednesday night. Can I be honest with y'all? Without offending y'all? I just said unoffendable. See, I come in here on most Wednesday nights and we got 40 guys from a Blake house and about 20 people in here for Bible study. And I don't say this so you won't come. I just say this to try to challenge you. And then we have Thanksgiving dinner and you know how many people come in? A bunch! We're setting out 15 round tables. And I carve 4 turkeys to feed everybody. that a big percentage don't come on Wednesday night. So you know what I had to be in that moment? Unoffendable. I'm just being real. Y'all get offended at me sometimes. Or there's the position to be offended at me sometimes. But you have to come in and say, you know what? I'm going to be unoffendable. Because when I look at people the way that Christ looks at people, and I love people the way that Christ loves people, then you know what all of a sudden? You know what all of a sudden happens? Then there's not a place for offense. If you were really holding that person's hand with a blank slate and said, I know nothing about this person other than the way that Christ loves them, your approach to them is going to be totally different. Instead of that is Errol Tollison, and you know what she said, and you know what she did, and you know what I saw her doing last week? I saw her at the Eric Church concert the other night. Oh my gosh. And we become offended. I'm not saying she did anything wrong with Eric Church. I'm just hypothetically speaking. I wasn't there. What are you smiling so hard for? He laughed. I know, man. Is anybody with me on this? Y'all see what the Father's trying to get us to do? That if I look and I love Seth the way that he loves Seth, and I approach Seth with a blank slate instead of my history with him, to where maybe he did this or he did that or he wasn't committed here or maybe he was and in the season and this and this and this. Because y'all can look at me the same way. But when I approach him like that, you know how I'm going to minister to him? Y'all know how I minister to people when I go on mission trips? Oh my gosh, I love them with the love of Jesus. You go down there and you'll build a house for somebody, no questions asked. Because you just want to release the love of Jesus to them. Because you know absolutely nothing about them. But if you went and interviewed all of their family and friends, you might say, man, I don't need to build this joker a house. I need to go get a job. You see the difference in the way we approach it? I love God, but I don't love all your people. You know one way that you can really love on me? By loving my children. You know one way you can really love on me is by loving my grandchildren. Man, I don't know you guys. I don't. But I love y'all. You know why I love y'all? Because y'all are connected to my kids. And because you're connected to my kids, that makes me feel like I'm connected to y'all. Y'all see that? And that's the same way. All of Lee and Brett and Errol Rents, all their little friends, they run and all their grandkids, they call me Gigi and Poppy. Heck, half the girls y'all's age, you call me Poppy sometimes. And you know what that is? That is relationship through connection. And we want to have this amazing relationship with God, but we don't want to have this amazing relationship with God through His people. Because you fill in the blank. They don't look like me. They don't act like me. They're not the same skin color as me. They didn't grow up with the same belief system as me. Maybe they cuss. Maybe they drink. Maybe they do this. Maybe whatever it is that's not on your list. And we come in and we miss out on this amazing relationship with God through connection with His people. You want to deepen and broaden your relationship with God? Deepen and broaden your relationship with His creation. And it starts with people. Somebody latch on to that. That's good. Somebody latch on to that today. You say, man, I see people all the time and they get real frustrated. They say, man, I don't have anybody I can do life with. And because you got to go out for the team. You take yourself out of the game. You take yourself out of the game. You coach what? D-line, right? O-line now. Okay. What if you're left tackle, which is in a passing attack, that's one of the most critical spots. What if your left tackle said, Coach, you know, man, I just ain't feeling it. Will you take me out of the game and put my number two guy in my spot? Friday night, y'all were in the state playoffs. He comes up to you. What all of a sudden, what happens in the way that you view this guy, your trust level with this guy, your all of this stuff in this guy, all of a sudden, man, it just drops off the radar screen, right? Right? Instead of the kid, man, he's got a broke fibula and all that, and he says, Coach, I can still go. I'm hurting, but I can still go. The guard, man, I had to block his guy twice, but I can still go. I'm undefendable, but I can still go. That's the guy you're going to put weight in. And we miss out on all this amazing relationship with God because we miss out on all this amazing relationship with who? His people. And it all gets back to our approach and our mindset and how we view it. A couple more verses and I'm through, I promise. Verse 13, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Tolerate Ambry Carter's weaknesses. Linda, do you see any? You're lying if you say you don't. Because she's not yet perfect in Christ. But she's in the process. He sees her as a Proverbs 31 woman, but experientially she's not quite yet a Proverbs 31 woman. She's getting close. Every year she's getting closer. But he says, tolerate the weaknesses you see in other people. We're still talking about Thanksgiving. Because y'all all want to jump to verse 17, but you want to skip verses 12 through 16. So tolerate the weaknesses. That's the thing about doing life together is we see each other's weaknesses. Y'all see my flaws. You see my weaknesses. You see it. I see yours. And he says, tolerate it. Tolerate it, the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. He ain't even talking about the people outside. He's talking about the people in the family of faith. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. Since she's my victim today. What if God forgave you the way you forgive Tyler? Would he hold grudges? Would he pout about it for a while? Would he say, I'm not going to talk to her for a little bit? I'm not going to share intimacy with her? Because she made me mad, she disappointed me, she hurt my feelings, so I'm going to withhold intimacy. Dude, I ain't talking about just physical. I'm talking about emotional and everything else. Y'all know you do. We all do. But he comes in here and he says, forgive the people in the family of faith. Forgive them the same way that he forgave you. Red, if I forgave you the way that he forgave me, then you know what we're doing? My mercies are new every morning and we're walking with a blank slate every day. We're eliminating past transgressions. Every time, without failure, when I do marriage counseling with people, you know what they come into marriage counseling with? A scorecard. Every time. I'll have couples come in and they'll say, well, they whip out that scorecard. And some of this junk is 20 years old. And I'm like, dude, it must not be that bad. You're still with her. And they got this scorecard. And we'll come in and we'll say, well, you did this, and 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 therefore that's going to limit my level of relationship with you. And he said, I want you to forgive the same way that I forgave. I want you to forgive the same way that I forgave. The same way I'm forgiving you. So we're tolerating weaknesses. We're forgiving one another. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. If you find fault, it's not hard, is it? You know what our problem is we look and we focus on the things that are negative. We look and focus on the things that are faulty. It's easy to see the dirt in our lives. It's easy for me to see the dirt in y'all's life. I mean, it really is. And it's easy if y'all spend any time with me, it's easy for you to see dirt in my life. That's not hard. But you know what Christ-like is? When we come in and I look for the treasure in your life. And I say, there's a treasure that is buried in a field in Robin. I can't call you Trantham. Paul's Robin. I still got to learn to pronounce his last name. And he's going to love this, listen to this on podcast. That Robin, Paul's Robin, is a treasure that's hid in a field of dirt. And he sold everything, he bankrupt heaven to purchase not only her treasure, but the field. He said, I'm good with it. I'll buy it all. And I'll pay a premium price for it. The world would not say that it's worth that, but because of who it is and what it is, it's worth it to me. And so if God looks at her like that, then how should I approach my relationship to her? Going into it knowing that there is a field there that's got dirt there, that gets muddy when it rains, that has a propensity to grow weeds. But when I come into it knowing that, but knowing the focus is not on the dirt, not on the weeds, not on the mud, but the focus is on what? The treasure. And if I come into it like that, then you know what I will be? I will engage in relationship with her and I'll be thankful for her, and all of a sudden I will have proper horizontal aim. Instead of coming in and saying, they offended me, or they did this, or they did this, or they did that. And it's all about our perspective on the stuff. You know what makes it valuable? Where it's at. Who it's connected to. He is created in His image. As Laura and I were walking out yesterday afternoon, there's a piece of property adjacent to ours. And Laura's like, me and Laura were like, we need to buy that. And I think we can buy it, but I told her, I think the owner's going to ask a big price for it. You know what our statement, what we came down to the conclusion of? How many pieces of property adjoin ours? Therefore, it's worth a premium because of where it is. Here's my point on that. Lisa Phillips is worth a premium because of who she is, who she's created in the image of. She is worth a premium. And y'all need to quit looking in the bargain bin and start looking in the trophy room. Because y'all looking in the bargain bin and saying, well, I ain't going to spend much on this. Nick White is worth every bit of my time, patience, endurance, long suffering, hypothetically speaking. He's worth all of that. You know why? Because who he is and where he's at, he's connected to my life, so he's worth a premium. And then we need to come in and quit devaluing people and quit devaluing stuff. And say, because of the proximity of this, because it is connected to my life, and because it is created in my image, then all of a sudden, you have to start doing that in just everyday life and ministering to people. The last 5 weeks we have had, I am really longing for a date night with my wife on Sunday night. I mean, moving to dinner, really, really longing for it. We got life group tonight, so it won't happen this week. The last 5 weeks I've officiated 3 weddings and hosted 3 life groups in our home. I am ready for a break. But you know what our mindset, where we will allow it to go if we're not careful? I am tired of trying to mend. And you sprinkle in teaching and preaching Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Okay, so you get the picture. I'm tired of ministering to people. I'm tired of doing stuff. You know, I've already made the joke. Don't nobody want to get married for the next 6 months. If they do, I'm sending them to Nick or James. They're going to be the officiant. Just get ready. It's coming y'all's way. I ain't doing none of it. And I'm missing the viewpoint on this. I'm missing the God's viewpoint on this. I've had the opportunity to pour. I'm preaching to my wife right now. I've had the opportunity to pour into 3 different families in the last 5 weeks. I have had the opportunity to host many, many families in my home for life group the last 3 sessions in the last 6 weeks, tonight being the third. I've had that opportunity. And so I look in and say, you know what? They are worth a premium to me. They are worth the premium in my life. This is what the Word says right here. Are the people that I've ministered to, do they have flaws? Absolutely. One of the weddings I did was last Sunday, and that was at Matt and Adriana. Do y'all have flaws in your life? Heck yeah, you got flaws in your life. Just like I do. But when I look at you like Christ looks at you, you know what He sees? A jewel, a treasure hidden in the field. And same thing with Eric J. Same thing with Allie. Same thing with all this. And I'm finishing with this. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. You think you're mature? You know what the mark is? Love. That word mark in Aramaic, you know what it actually could be? The girdle of maturity. A translation of that girdle of maturity. You know what a girdle is? Something you put on. You know what I put on? Love. You know what I choose to do? Love. I choose to love you. or I choose not to. I choose to endure, or I choose not to. I choose to forgive, or I choose not to. I choose to try to understand you. I don't get where they're coming from. I don't get it. It's a choice. It's a choice. And it all ends up in this verse right here. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus. Every activity, every word, be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God. You know what my thankfulness to Him looks like? When I'm thankful for where He planted me. You know what my thankfulness to Him looks like? When I'm thankful for the people He put into my life. You know what's bad is I brag on my son-in-laws to other people more than I brag to them. I brag on y'all a lot to other people. I don't tell y'all that much, but I do. I brag. I know we ain't about that. That ain't all cool manly stuff and everything. But I do. I tell people how awesome my son-in-laws are. I tell them, I was bragging to somebody Friday evening, I was bragging to somebody. I said, man, I love this about them in business. And I went and extolling the virtues of what I like about y'all in business and all that to that person. And we come in and we choose to look at the good. The word says, whatsoever things are right and just and true and virtuous, to think and dwell on these things. And the whole thing, your glass is going to be half full or it's going to be half empty. It's always going to be full. But what's it full of? It's always full of something. What's it full of? What's it full of? And I just want to shift. Y'all stand to your feet. I'm through. I just want to shift. Your mindset during this holiday season. Maybe especially during this holiday season. Because holidays can be taxing. They can be stressful. We're forced to be around people we're not crazy about. And when we come in and we say that I'm going to take my thing, because all of y'all, I believe all of y'all love Jesus. This ain't the easiest church to go to. It's not convenient. Not convenient. But I believe you're here because you love Jesus and you hunger for more. You want more. You're hungering for more life. You like what gets released in this house. So I believe that you got this going on pretty good. But I think where we fail miserably and miss the mark is with our horizontal aim of thankfulness. And I go back to Matthew 5. And He said, by your good deeds, they will see your good deeds. And He's talking about the light set on the hill. And they said, if you're that light set on the hill, they will see your good deeds and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if I don't like that person and I'm not thankful for that person, then it's going to be hard for me to do good deeds to that person. But when I come in and I take the aim and I go, whew, and it lands on Michael, it lands on Miss Jackie, and it lands on Miss Linda, and it lands on Anita, and all of a sudden that love and that thanksgiving and that good deed start getting released that way, that's what the world sees. And that makes them want not me, it makes them want Him. Makes them want Him. So let's shift from this to this. Okay? And in doing this, we're still doing this. In doing this, we're still doing this. All right? I told you this is going to be one where this is a thinker, provoking thought. So y'all go home, y'all think about this afternoon when you're doing your thing. Y'all just kind of meditate on it with the Lord. See how He speaks to you. I think it'll change our approach toward people. It'll change our mindset toward people. All right? Amen. Y'all looking forward to a good week this week? I am. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good week this week. We will be back here next Sunday. No church Wednesday night. And just be mindful of one another. Be mindful of one another. The needs that are out there, the hurting that's out there. Be kind to each other. As a lot of times we're kinder to strangers than we are to each other. So let's be kind to each other.
I just want to thank everybody with my husband's dad's passing. I just want to thank everybody that prayed, everybody that came, everybody that made food. The food was wonderful. But what took place was an example of what you just talked about. Those that reached out to my husband, you have no idea what kind of impact that it had, and on his sister. She went on and on about how wonderful the people were, and she couldn't believe. She couldn't believe the wonderful food. She couldn't believe this. She couldn't believe that, because she didn't see that. But she saw it this week. She experienced it this week. And that was an extension of love. That was love language that was desperately needed. And I just want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart.
Well, you guys have an amazing week. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. I am thankful for y'all. So thankful for all the people that God's brought into my life. And some of y'all at times are heavenly sandpaper, but I'm still thankful for you. And so y'all leave with the love of Jesus and release it into the world. Y'all have an amazing week. See you guys.